Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says after speaking with Mexico's president, he'll give that country a one-month exemption from tariffs. The markets are still waiting for what comes next. CBS's Natalie Brand.
While U.S. automakers received a reprieve for a month, other industries are hoping for additional exemptions.
The president's plans for the Education Department are still unclear, but Nancy Cordes reports he's given orders to his new education secretary.
He is going to order her, according to our sources, to do whatever she can to dismantle the agency without actually getting rid of it altogether. That would take an act of Congress.
The House has voted to censure Congressman Al Green of Texas for his outburst during Trump's speech to Congress. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
The censure resolution put forth by extreme MAGA Republicans is not worth the paper that it was written on.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Even though the Milwaukee Common Council approved a plan to bring officers back to MPS, leaders in Madison may try to adjust that effort. According to a WIS Politics report, the Wisconsin Assembly is set to consider a bill which would require Milwaukee public schools to cover 75% of the cost for school resource officers. The city would be on the hook for the remaining 25%. The ask for more from MPS comes after a judge ordered an even split of expenses for 25 school resource officers. The Common Council approved an even split at a meeting Tuesday night. It's been more than a year since the officers were supposed to come back. It's a two-year deal at $320,000 a year. That's the main part of the contract for the new MPS superintendent. Dr. Brenda Casilius will begin her tenure March 15th under a deal approved by the school board Tuesday night. She'll get that $320,000 annually, plus an $80,000 transitional salary. That's for work performed before her official start date, July 1st. The contract also includes 25 vacation days, 15 sick days, and $33,000 annually in a retirement plan. Get-togethers are happening for a public talk about a health issue. Lisa Hale has more.
PFAS is on the mind of the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board, and they'll be hosting public hearings on standards for PFAS contamination in groundwater. At a recent meeting, the board unanimously voted to hold the hearings on proposed standards that mirror Environmental Protection Agency recommendations. The standards would set at 4 parts per trillion for 2 of the most common PFAS compounds and 10 parts per trillion for less common compounds. The current Wisconsin drinking water standards are 70 parts per trillion.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Bucks down the Mavericks. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks cruise to another win at home, 137-107, past the Dallas Mavericks team missing 7 of their players. How did the Bucks handle themselves? Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I thought we played the right way overall. Aggressive, moved the ball, defended. They have so many guys out. You know, tough for them. Like, that's how I kept thinking that. Like, you got Klay Thompson over there, and so it's just a tough spot.
College hoops, the Badgers with a win in Minnesota, 74-67. John Blackwell led with 25 points and a career-high 11 rebounds. Marquette losing at UConn, 72-66. The game delayed for 22 minutes at the start.
I said it was a leak in the roof, and it was leaking on the baseline. You know, they talked about canceling the game if it didn't get addressed. So, you know, I told Danny we'd go across the street to the practice gym if we had to, but I'm glad we could play the game here.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bright and beautiful today, with high temperatures flirting with 40 degrees and winds still a bit breezy. Clouds will be increasing tonight, with lows bottoming out in the upper 20s, and tomorrow it'll be mostly cloudy, with highs in the mid-30s. But I'll tell you, a warm-up surges in right in time for the weekend and into next week. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Maggie Dawn.
Mark Hutt's newest hole has dropped. We'll be joined at 2 p.m. by Dr. Charles Ranklin to discuss what Wisconsinites know about the candidates for the Supreme Court and what are our opinions about Elon.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program here on this Thursday, March 6th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Sunny skies and a cloud in the sky that I can see out of the world headquarters here in downtown Madison on State Street. Great to have you along. How about Chad Holmes stopping by, Zommers? Now, there's a guy that's getting it done day in, day out, just like our friend Phil Nee at WRCO. Holmes up there at WXCO in Wausau. He's getting up before the chickens get up. He's doing a show. He's doing a couple of hours of a radio show. And then he's going out at night and broadcasting hockey and baseball. And the list goes on. And he's down here now broadcasting state high school hockey.
Yeah, those two work so hard,
right?
And deserve praise. And it's always good to hear his takes. And I'm glad that he got to come on coincidentally when somebody from Wausau called in.
That exactly. It just shows you how we're all kind of connected. And good luck to all those Wisconsin high school hockey teams, boys and girls, who are participating here in Madison this weekend. It is serious stuff, these hockey's state tournaments. So big kudos to all of them. You can listen to those broadcasts, by the way, if you don't live in Wausau, via the Civic Media app. Simply download it at your Apple or Android device. Type in Civic on the old search bar in your app store, Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute to download. It's free, gratis, won't cost you a dime. It's what Gail King over there at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app. Listen to Chad tonight on the Civic Media app. Lots to get to this hour, including our what's worse on butter or margarine. That'll be fun. I don't think it'll be close, but maybe.
I don't think so.
Maybe people feel differently than me. I don't know. Going to talk more about these cuts. Yesterday, being announced at Department of Veterans Affairs, 80,000 employees. And now today, word is that Trump is going to effectively shut down the U.S. Department of Education. Which is ironic, for me at least, that it happens today, because today, the 6th of March, would have been my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, would have been her 104th birthday. She died at the ripe old age of 96. And before the show, I thought to myself, if I had said to my grandmother in her 90s, well, just think, Grandma, in 2025, you'll be 104. Her reaction most likely would have been, oh, I hope not. I hope I'm not around. Because, I mean, she worked her tail off literally building a university and helping others and being an educator. She grew up as a farm girl
And by in her 90s, she had, you know, she was in a lot of pain, just her bones and everything. And
as happens to a lot of people.
And she would say, I don't want to live to be 100. And she didn't. She checked out at 96. And by the way, she lived the last 8-ish years in a nursing home and had all of her faculties up until the day she died. And by golly, she voted. So she was the first woman to serve as a dean of a University of Wisconsin campus at UW-Richland, with so many other people there in the Richland Center area helped to establish that. And it survived for over 50 years. Until Jay Rothman took over the UW system and the Republicans defunded it. And Tony Evers said, I care, but not enough to do anything about it. That's going to be a new segment. I care, but not enough to do anything about it.
You know, Jay Rothman and those guys, they're doing the best they can.
Right. So anyway, happy birthday, Grandma. I know you're looking down. Thanks for all you did. Your legacy lives on in so many lives that you helped. I still have people come up to me and say, if it wasn't for your grandmother, I would have never got my education. I wouldn't have my job. It just goes to prove the ripple effect of one person on other people's lives. So there you go. Speaking of that, ripple effects, I want to begin this hour. It was great to have Chad in here, but we didn't get to. I want to revise and extend some remarks that I made yesterday about the joint session of Congress, the presidential speech. Trump was there. And Congressman Al Green, I believe of Texas, Democrat, stood up and was shouting at Donald Trump as he was trying to give the speech. And Mike Johnson, the speaker, gave him a warning, pounded the gavel, said, you're out of order. If you don't stop, we'll have you removed. And Green continued. And so they called the sergeant at arms and had Al Green removed. I said yesterday that while I don't agree with Johnson on much, I agreed that was appropriate because he wouldn't stop. And people say, well, why isn't it okay for Marjorie Taylor Greene and others to yell liar at Joe Biden, but not? And I said, well, I know it's nuanced, but they stopped. They didn't continue on. Al Green did. And look, I'm 55. I'm an institutional guy. I worked for both the United States House of Representatives and the state Senate. I have seen firsthand that normally the most effective way to get something accomplished in these institutions is to have rules that everybody has to follow. And so I just said, look, I think what Green said was important, that Trump doesn't have a mandate to cut Medicaid, but I don't think he did it the right way. Al Green took to the House floor yesterday, and I listened to it. I saw it on Twitter, actually. And I listened to it. And I thought to myself, would I have listened to that if he hadn't been thrown out? If he just went to the House floor and said something, would I have stopped and clicked and listened to that? Let's listen to it, then we'll discuss. Here's Al Green yesterday on the House Representatives floor.
And I did it with intentionality. The president indicated that he had a mandate. I said to the president, you do not have a mandate to cut Medicaid. I have constituents who need Medicaid. They will suffer and some will die if they don't get Medicaid. I heard the speaker when he said that I should cease. I did not, and I did not with intentionality. It was not done out of a burst of emotion. I was emotional about it, but I did it with intentionality. I think that on some questions, questions of conscience, you have to be willing to suffer the consequences. And I have said I will. I will suffer whatever the consequences are, because I don't believe that in the richest country in the world, people should be without good health care. I stood up for my constituents then. I'm standing up for my constituents now. I am grateful to Mr. McGovern for what he has said. I'm grateful to those who have been standing with me. But I will tell you, I appreciate you. No anger. The officers who escorted me out, they were kind to me. I don't blame the speaker for anything. Friends, I would do it again. I have to be candid with you. I'm not trying to in some way insult you. This is a matter of principle. This is a matter of conscience. There are people suffering in this country because they don't have health care. I'll close with this. On some issues of matter, that are matters of conscience, it is better to stand alone than not stand at all. This is where I stand.
Democratic U.S. Representative Al Green of Texas. So I listened to that. And I thought, would I have stopped on Twitter and listened if Al Green hadn't been thrown out? And if I'm honest with myself, no, I wouldn't have. I thought he was exquisite in that explanation. I thought he was, I guess the only other word is exquisite. It reminds me of the great late civil rights activist John Lewis, who reminded all of us that sometimes it's good to have good trouble. And I think Al Green got into some good trouble. And while I still don't think that we should become Parliament in the UK with prime minister's questions and yelling at one another, I think Al Green made his point. And the fact that he accepted the responsibility and said, look, I know whatever punishment's coming my way, I'll take it. Didn't make excuses for it, took responsibility, but he made a really important point. And it was a way to cut through in a time when it's very tough to cut through message-wise. So that's my second pause, reflect take on Al Green. I think he did what he needed, what he thought he had to do. He made a point. And it, by the way, it's a very salient one. Because those of us, sometimes including myself, are not paying attention to what really matters. What really matters are these votes coming up in Congress soon, which are going to determine Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, lives, actual lives of a lot of folks. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom, out in beautiful Los Angeles, California. L.A., what do you have?
First off, Al Green is a hero of mine now. And also, you know what? People act like the only people that are on Medicaid and Social Security and Medicare are Democrats. Right. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of Republicans out there that are on Medicare, Medicaid, and
in red congressional districts.
Social Security, right? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would think that even Republicans would be saying, you know, thank you, Al Green, for speaking out for me. It wasn't like a you lie thing where it was just basically just trying to make a headline. He had a purpose behind what it was he was trying to say. And like you said, Todd, he got that out. Now, I'd like to say that money in politics and lobbyists in politics is what is destroying our country. Because of Citizens United, this has destroyed our country. If we didn't have Citizens United, we wouldn't be having millions of dollars going into a campaign in Wisconsin right now, Susan Crawford and BS. I mean, we would have basically people running for office. Mm. And for the gentleman that called before, look, it was the Republican sandbox. We're just playing in it now.
Right. Well, before,
we are not.
Hang on. Just before we're out of time, you put something in the chat. I want to address it. You said the 10 Democrats who voted for the censure of Al Green today. I don't know this for a fact. My guess is if you look, they're Democrats who are in swing districts who barely won the races and are being attacked by conservative media in their district. And so this is a way to try to balance it out politically. They're trying to survive. That's my guess. Appreciate the call, L.A. Come on back. We'll play a little What's Worse. It's the Todd Allball Show. It's March 6th. It's Grandma's birthday. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the machine shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod. Or try our bone-in seasoned catfish, lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the machine shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the Chef.
I-94 and Highway 164, Pewaukee.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tonto Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Birthday wishes. I mentioned before the show, it would have been my grandma Wallace's 104th birthday. She departed. She checked out at 96. She's happy in heaven, I'm sure. Megan, one of our great folks here in the office in Madison, says, coincidentally, it's also my husband Corey's 30th birthday today. He loves listening to you guys while he's at work. Well, happy birthday, Corey, big 3-0. Just a young buck out there in the woods. So thanks for listening. And this brings up an interesting point. I'm thinking maybe for the summer, we start having people send in birthday wishes. I'm a big fan of Garrison Keillor, the old Prairie Home Companion show on National Public Radio, came out of Minnesota. And for so many, very many years, during one part of the show, they'd play music, instrumental, and he would read birthday wishes from people in the audience or people, the listeners would call in, you know, and send out birthday. I think that'd be lovely for us. And timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say, because we just bought Civic. Man, believe me, I couldn't buy a raincoat. But the Civic Media just bought a brand new station, well, a legacy station, in Northern Minnesota. And when I say Northern Minnesota, I mean, like, to paraphrase Sarah Palin, I can see Canada from my back porch. You really can. WLEY, End of the Road or Radio.
Is
called.
It ELY?
Or ELY. Yeah, Eli, Minnesota. Sorry. The old dyslexia kicking in. WELY in Eli, Minnesota. And this is like right near the border of Canada, and they broadcast to the boundary waters up there. And because their signal goes into the boundary waters, it may be one of the few, if not only, signals up there, they are licensed by the FCC to carry emergency announcements. Now, for those of you like me who are big fans of broadcasting and the old and current CBS Sunday morning show that was originated and hosted so very many years by the late great broadcaster Charles Kuralt, who did the On the Road programs and whatnot. Well, he did a couple of stories on Eli, and he fell in love with it. So much so that when he retired from broadcasting in 1995, the station up there, WELY, was falling on hard times, and he bought it. And he ran it. Charles Kuralt, WELY in Eli, Minnesota, until his untimely death in 1997, and then it was sold and has fallen into kind of disrepair and been shut down a couple of times. Well, now Civic Media has bought it and has breathed life into it. We have some Craig the Trader, I think he's called up there. Trader Craig and one of the local personalities is back on the air. And I think this is great because now through Civic, we can broadcast these things to the Boundary Waters. So I think we pick up on that. I think Charles Kralt would love this and Garrison Keillor. And we just read people's birthdays this summer. So maybe that'll be a thing later on this summer. But cannot wait. I know it's going to be local music up there on WELY. Might be an AM signal coming up there as well. I'm not sure if we're going to. I have a feeling the people of Ely, Minnesota may not want me on their airwaves every day. Because, you know, I'm a little harsh on the Gophers over there.
I will say, though, Phil in Minneapolis just called in and says it is pronounced Ely.
Oh, really? Ely. Well, see, immediately, that's another reason the people in Ely don't want me there is because I can't pronounce their town name. Who wants this Wisconsin boy on our airwaves?
Mark in Prairie du Sac also texted in with that pronunciation.
Well, I appreciate that. That's the first correct pronunciation I've heard. Ely. Ely, Minnesota. Well, thank you. The more you know. And they're lovely, lovely people up there in northern Minnesota. I mean, it's not Iowa.
Watch yourself before we know.
I don't think we're gonna buy any stations in Iowa, but you never know. And look, we're all from the Midwest, right? We're just getting along. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for the caller. So congratulations to all the folks at Ely, Minnesota, who are now part of the Civic Media family. All right, we're going to start this now. We'll finish on the other side. Time once again, 26 past. A little what's worse. Here we go. Time once again for what's worse. Nothing to give away. No grand prizes, but it's coming. It's coming. I cannot tell you. I'm not allowed. They're very strict about this, by the way. I cannot tell you what it is. But the grand prize coming up here soon in our text to win contest, it's something you can share. It's something you can share.
Something you can use every day.
Every day. And something so much fun.
Something you can use every night.
Every night. And if you have one and it's a good one, you'll never go back. The grand prize coming up in our text to win coverage or contest. You're not going to want to miss it. But we have nothing. This is just your chance to have your voice heard across Civic Media. All right, here we go. Timely indeed, because Easter is on. We're now into Lent, Mr. Zommers. Are you giving anything up for Lent?
Probably not.
All right.
Well, I guess I would have had to know already by now. So I guess the answer is no.
I traditionally, for Lent, I give up abstinence.
How's that working out for you this year?
Somebody has to do it. I've given up abstinence for Lent. So there you go. By the way, I'm going to be on Pete Schwab's show tonight.
Are you going to talk about that?
Maybe.
In more detail?
I might, if he asks. So it'll be a good time to have by all. Join us tonight, 6:30 on Pete Schwab's show, Nightlight with Conrad. Going to be talking TV, movies. I'm not sure. Abstinence. They were asking last night, what do you give up for Lent? I thought I'd save it for tonight. Anyway, what's worse, butter or margarine? Butter or margarine? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, butter or margarine? Our ongoing contributor and friend Jeff Perry on Facebook says, based on your tease, I can only assume the grand prize in the text to win contest coming up is related to the testicle festival. No, it is not. But wouldn't that be fantastic if it was? For those that don't listen to us on WMDX in Madison, I guess a lot of people hear Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report. She's later this week, she's going to be broadcasting from the Testicle Festival. This is a real thing here in Dane County where they have all kinds of Rocky Mountain oysters, deep fried, all that kind of stuff. What would you put on your Testicle Festival Rocky Mountain oyster? Butter or margarine? What's worse? 855-752-4842. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The latest Marquette University Law School poll of Wisconsin voters finds the Democratic Party's favorability rating is especially poor. The poll gauged favorability for each of the two major political parties, and while the Republican Party is polling at a slight net negative, the Democratic Party's favorability is especially poor. Only 34% view it as favorably, 62% unfavorably. The poll is among registered voters in Wisconsin and has a slight Republican lean in the sample. It's a two-year deal at $320,000 a year. That's the main part of the contract for the new MPS superintendent. Dr. Brenda Casilius will begin her tenure March 15th under a deal approved by the school board Tuesday night. She'll get that $320,000 annually, plus an $80,000 transitional salary. That's for work performed before her official start date, July 1st. The contract also includes 25 vacation days, 15 sick days, and $33,000 annually in a retirement plan. Who's got the best burger in the state? Nominations are now open for the Wisconsin Beef Council's second annual Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest. Brittany Merlot has more.
Pickles Bar and Grill at Hazelhurst won last year, and they saw a 530% increase in burger sales from April to June. So you have until March 21st to nominate your favorite burger from any Wisconsin restaurant. You get one nomination per person on the Wisconsin Beef Council's website. Then in early April, the WBC will reveal the Elite Eight restaurants with the most nominations. And a secret panel of judges will then head on a delicious journey to taste and evaluate the top contenders. And the grand winner will be announced on May 1st to kick off May Beef Month.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're heading to the theater this weekend while the snow melts, here are some moving pictures you might enjoy, especially if you're into sci-fi. Opening in wide release is Mickey 17. It's being called a sci-fi comedy, drama, mystery, thriller. It covers a lot of bases. I think the only genre they're missing is adult film. The movie stars Robert Pattinson, who plays an expendable on a dangerous mission to colonize a planet covered with ice. The film is getting mad love from critics with an 87% and certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Another new sci-fi film that hits theaters, In the Lost Lands, stars Mila Jovovich and David Bautista. The film is about a queen who sends a sorceress into forbidden lands to find magical powers, kind of a necessity in the sorcery game. It's a nice cast and sounds fun, but is batting about a 50% with just a handful of reviews in. If science fiction isn't your thing, there are still lots of leftovers in the theaters from the last couple weeks, and most Oscar films are available to stream. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bright and beautiful today, with high temperatures flirting with 40 degrees and winds still a bit breezy. Clouds will be increasing tonight, with lows bottoming out in the upper 20s, and tomorrow it'll be mostly cloudy with highs in the mid-30s. But I'll tell you, a warm-up surges in right in time for the weekend and into next week. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong, just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. That is coming your way. Also, Pete Schwabba from Nightlight will join us to talk about the killer flaw in that movie Green and Gold. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along here right in the middle of our What's Worst question of the day. Your chance to have your voice heard across Civic Media. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Glad to have you along. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download the app for free at your Apple or Android device. Give us a text in. What's worse, butter or margarine? Butter or margarine? 855-752-4842. Now, this is by the way, more clarification. We were talking about our new station over in Minnesota. It's pronounced Ely. Ely, Minnesota, and it's W-E-L-Y. And someone asked, well, if it's over on the other side of the Mississippi, wouldn't it begin with K? Usually stations west of the Mississippi are K. I don't know the full story. All I can tell you is that the original station signed on October 2nd, 1954 as W-E-L-Y-A-M. On the FM side, it was originally called KQEQ, as it was issued of the license in 1992, but then later on changed to WELY-FM. So for whatever reason, it's known as WELY. All right, Thomas, let's get on this. Let's reach out to Trader Craig up there at WELY and get him on the show. We can ask Trader Craig. This will be fantastic.
That would be great.
Right? We're going to have so much fun with this new station in Minnesota up there in the beautiful Boundary Waters. Right now, what's worse, butter or margarine? Butter or margarine? All right. MT in the Grove, better known as Monona Grove, says margarine is worse. It's like spreading warm plastic, and I refuse to spread neither on my testicles.
Mark. Probably a good move.
Because we were talking about this testicle festival. It's a real thing in Rocky Mountain Oysters here in Dane County that Pam Yonke on the Farm Report is, I mean, it's a big business.
It is. And speaking of the testicle festival, for those of you not listening to WMDX in Madison, the John and Gordy Show is a morning show we have here. Mm. And this is their promo for tomorrow's show.
All right, here we go.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Pam Yonke will be talking about the Springfield Corners Testicle Festival.
If you're unfamiliar with what a testicle is.
Wait, no, don't go there.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings, 6 till 8.
There you go.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, you tune in tomorrow from 6 to 8 and you can learn more. Matt, one of our UPS drivers in Richland Center, listening on WRCE, the old home station. Margarine is worse. Butter is superior for cooking, shaving, and sunbathing. This, and then another person sent in, this reminds me of that old Seinfeld article where Kramer decides to use butter does moisturizer and suntan lotion. And
yeah, that's not a good move.
Not a good move. Tony listening on WMDX in Beaver Dam. It's Wisconsin butter that goes on everything, so margarine is worse. Absolutely. Michael listening in Tosa on WMDX says butter is best, margarine is the worst. Kimber listening in Muscatine on WRCE. Saying margarine, worse of all, every day and half the night. Only real butter forever. 855-752-4842. One more here from RCE. Our other UPS driver, Sean of the RC, says butter is better, especially when it's from Alcam Creamery in Richland Center. They do it great. All sorts of great local butter in Wisconsin, right? All right, let's go to Ollie in the North Woods calling back. Ollie, butter or margarine, what's worse?
Well, margarine is definitely worse. It's much more watery, and I prefer to drink my water. And butter actually has recently been medically proved to be better for you than margarine.
Right.
So stick with good old Wisconsin butter, I say.
Great call. Appreciate it, Ollie. 855-752-4842. Zobbers?
We got a text from Megan in Sun Prairie saying, I don't know. I've never had margarine because the chefs in my family respect food too much to use it.
Wow. Wow. Hating the margarine. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Milwaukee. Beautiful Milwaukee on WMDX. Brian, butter or margarine? What's worse?
I'd have to say margarine. And I made the mistake once where I was baking and I thought margarine was healthier. And if you know what a dump cake is, you literally just take your pie filling, and I use cherry pie filling, put that on the bottom of a 9x13. You then take the chocolate cake mix, put that over, and then you're supposed to take that to butter, put that over the top, top of the oven, 350 for 45 minutes, and everything melts, and you got yourself a cake. Easiest thing to bake in the world.
Right.
Well, I thought, oh, I'm going to be healthy, and I'm going to use margarine. 45 minutes later, I had the most soupiest mess in the world, and I called up my mom going, Mom, I thought you told me this was an easy cake to make, and I have to be somewhere in an hour for a potluck. What do I do?
Right.
Well, did you use butter? No, I used margarine. Well, if I tell you to use butter, you better use butter, because with baking, you have to follow the instructions.
That's so true.
I had to go out to the store and buy a cake that night. At least the thing is, with butter, now they do prove that it is healthier, and at least you can get an unsalted version of it if you want to really be healthy about it. You know?
Well, right. There
but
you go.
That was my biggest baking mistake for the easiest thing to make in the world. I was like, how the hell did you mess up a dump cake?
By using margarine, apparently, right? Appreciate the call. Thanks, Brian. Thank you so much, and good luck on the cooking there. 855-752-4842. Kurt, listening on WMDX in Madison. Kurt, butter or margarine? What's worse?
Margarine's worse, and I did a lot of research about the agents and stuff to mitigate bacterial growth while you're sleeping at night. Well, guess what? Small pat of butter, smear around in your mouth, swish it around, and
wait a minute.
The bad bacteria
away. Wait a minute here. Stop the show. I want to make sure I'm understanding.
Google it.
You're saying
Google
that
it.
Instead of brushing your teeth, put butter in your mouth at night?
No.
Oh, all right. In addition?
No, I didn't say that.
All right.
I said that, say that before you go to bed, if you take a pat of small amount of butter and smear, you know, use your tongue and move it around your mouth, it'll mitigate a lot of the bad bacteria.
Really? I've learned something on the show today.
Believe me, just
Google
it.
I'm just fascinated because I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. News you can use, 855-752-4842. Whistler, up on the RC Richland Center, listening on WRCE. Whistler, butter or margarine? What's worse?
Well, I would have to say that margarine is worse. I remember back in the 50s, early 60s, my aunt and uncle lived in Chicago. Every time they'd come up to Spring Green, they'd bring two cases of margarine because it was cheaper than butter. So that was one of the things that happened in my young life.
And
I think butter is better.
Families can be split apart by stuff like that. You got to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate it, Whistler. Have a great day up there in the RC. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Chad Holmes Country, WXCO, in beautiful Wausau. Dale in Wausau. Dale, butter or margarine? What's worse?
Margarine is worse, but there's butter. Stick butter is the best, but there's butters out there now that are spreadable butter. There's a lot of oil in that spreadable butter, and that's been shown to be detrimental to a person's health. All this oil in this spreadable butter. But stick butter is the best. Margarine is the worst.
Appreciate it, Dale. Thank you so much. They also have now, it's called hand-rolled butter, which is right from the creamery. They don't even shape it into sticks. They just take it raw and they roll it into a nice little roll. Not like more like an oblong roll, basically.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really good. Let's see here. What's worse, butter or margarine? Len, listening to WMDX in Madison, says for the aspect of saturated fats, butter is worse, but for the aspect of America's dairyland, margarine is worse. Tom in Jackson on AUK says, easy, butter is made from real dairy. It got a bad rap years ago when the corn industry paid for junk science that said butter was bad for you. Megan, oh, we already did that one. Let's see here. What else we got? We've got Katya in Madison. Todd, what is the binary thinking? I like butter and olive oil blend. Now, that's different, I think, than what our last caller was saying. You put, and that makes it a little bit more spreadable. I think as long as it's good olive oil, I think that's fine for you as well, although I'm not a doctor. Don't take my medical advice. Tom in Jackson, AUK, says later it was proven that in the process of making corn oil to hold shape, it was not good for you.
Yeah. Continuing his earlier comment about the alleged fake studies that made butter seem worse than margarine.
Yeah. And in Chippewa Falls on WCFW says, do they still sell margarine? Butter for sure is better. Yes, of course they sell margarine. Yeah, absolutely. Len in Madison, butter or margarine depends on if you want your dietary application before or after it goes into the cow. I like that. That's really good.
I will say,
yeah,
it is important to have butter alternatives for people who are lactose intolerant.
Well, sure, exactly.
But that doesn't mean that they're good.
but they also have pills for that.
That's true. For some people, they don't work as well.
Well, take a pill. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. Well, you go, what's the worst numbers, butter or margarine?
Margarine. I'm right. Yeah, I'm saying it's important to exist. I'm not saying I like it.
I think I've heard this years. I think I told this story a long time ago on the show. I'm going to retell it quickly. I had a revel, and I grew up in a dairy farming family. My grandparents on my dad's side were dairy farmers. So big lover of dairy. But then, you know, in the 80s or something like that, you know, margarine kind of came, well, you know, as the caller said, or the texter, you know, a lot of fake science paid for by the corn industry on margarine. And so I started kind of using margarine because it's supposed to be good for you. And I was back home from college. And my mom used to have, well, she still does have the old kind of the stove, the electric stove with the coils. And so I was going to fry an egg. And so I put margarine in the pan to fry an egg. And then the phone rang before cell phones. Yes, I know. And so I went to answer the landline. And so I put the pan on its side. Kind of one side of the pan was up on the coil of the electric burner. And one was on the edge, you know, the flat part of the stove. And I went, I forget who it was. And the phone call lasted a couple of minutes. And I went back to the stove to fry the egg. And that big glob of margarine I put in the pan to melt, there was like a big glob of whatever still up at the top of the pan, and then all this water at the bottom. And I thought to myself, I'm not putting that in my body. That there's no way that can be good for you. And yes, I get it. Too much, you know, cholesterol or too much of anything is not good for us, right? But to other caller's point, dairy, if you get like good organic butter, I mean, it's milk and salt and enzymes, and that's it. And you cannot beat great Wisconsin butter. As Ken Lewis taught me years ago, you can't beat it with a stick. So yes, margarine is worse. It ain't even, and you know, back in the day, like Wisconsin oleo, they used to call it oleo, was outlawed. And Wisconsin restaurants to this day, you have to carry butter on the table. That's the law. 855-752-4842. Tony in Beaver Dam. Tony, butter and margarine, what's worse?
Tony, what about oleo?
I brought it up. I said, but oleo is basically margarine.
Well, I know that, but it's got oil right in the name.
Right. So are you saying that oleo is worse than butter?
Well, of course. I said that butter is the only thing for people in Wisconsin. So right.
I'll go along with that.
Have a good day, bro. Appreciate
it, Tony. Thank you so much. Tom in Jackson says, if you put margarine outside, animals won't eat it. I didn't know that. I've never put it outside for an animal to try out. Well, this was fantastic. This is a good one. Lots of feelings on this. Like overwhelmingly, people have voted now that margarine is butter better. Margarine is worse than butter. Can we fit a quick one in? Steve in Middleton. Steve, quickly, butter or margarine, what's worse?
Margarine's worse, but I usually buy it. But you know the story about Gordy Roslip, a Republican from down around Darlington?
Yeah, tell it.
'60s.
Tell it quickly.
He claimed he tried to pass a law that you couldn't sell oleo in the state because of the butter industry and that. And he claimed he could tell the difference, so they ran a couple different demonstrations, and he could never tell the difference at all.
I know. That's a great story, Senator Gordy Roslip. All right, come on back. We'll end up the show. It's the Almost Show on Civic Media's Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding, "The citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded." In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to the Todd Lowball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. A little CBS News Radio or ABC News Radio, depending upon which of our great stations across the Civic Media Radio Network that you listen to, followed by a sports update with the great Mike Clemens, our sports reporter. How about them Wisconsin Badgers last night? Speaking of Ely, Minnesota, our listeners up there, although we're not on Ely yet, but music is. Wisconsin went to the Barn in Minnesota last night, men's basketball, and came away a winner by 7 points, 74-67. Big game for the Badgers. Jack Janicki, this great kid from Minnesota who had D1 offers, scholarships, passed him by to come to Wisconsin, and I'm not sure if he's a walk-on. I don't believe that. I'm not sure if he has a scholarship now, but when he came, I don't think he had a scholarship. Paid his own way to play for Greg Gard of the Badgers, and Janicki came off the bench, had like 6-7 points last night, and like with 8 seconds left, he took a bad shove or whatever, and his face hit the floor. The poor kid chipped his like a quarter of his front, one of his front, and he has beautiful teeth.
That is unfortunate.
And he got up and he picked his tooth up or part of the tooth up off the floor and went to the bench. And Coach Garza asked after him if he was okay, and he said he'll be fine. He just looks like a hockey player right now.
Yeah.
And so I recommended my dentist to them on Twitter. I said, here, Rob Bradley, go see him. Great, great dentist here in Madison. But boy, the Badgers looked, the 3-point shot, still not doing great, but Badger, Wisconsin, now still the number one free throw shooting team in America.
Very impressive.
How about that? On the other side, Marquette University, bad news for my former boss, Scott Klug. His Marquette Golden Eagles fell 72-66 last night to the UConn Huskies. I think Marquette will be okay. They're going to win a couple of games in the tournament, I think. But with that win last night, now Wisconsin finishes up the regular season with senior night on Saturday. They take on Penn State at the Kohl Center. You can hear that game on the Civic Media app for free and on select stations broadcast over the air across the state of Wisconsin. Then on to the Big Ten tournament, which the Badgers, I believe, now are right kind of tied. There's like three teams trying to fight for that number four seed in the Big Ten tournament, which means you get a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. And right now the Badgers still forecast for a three seed in the NCAA tournament, which means they may be able to play their first two games of the big tournament in Milwaukee at the Fiserv Forum. That'd be fantastic news. A couple of this and that notes to end the show. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to uphold a federal judge's order that compelled the Trump administration to release funding for completed projects to contractors and recipients of grants from the U.S. Agency for International Development and the State Department, which amounts to roughly $2 billion. So we'll see if the Trump administration actually implements that, gives these life-saving foods and medications to people around the world who are dependent upon them. We shall see. Also yesterday, NBA player LeBron James scored his 50,000th career point. Has had 50,000 points.
Wow.
In the NBA. 50,000 LeBron James. Incredible. Great athlete. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the anti-vaxxer, get this, this is interesting, acknowledged the value of measles vaccines amid a deadly outbreak in Texas. How about that? The voice is still, like, I'd have to take a lot more steroids to do the voice.
I can do it, but I'm not going to do it right now because
it's hard on the voice to do it.
I need to work into it.
Yeah. Well, you know. A lot of people dying of measles. So, yeah, I mean, vaccines will help. Apparently, Kennedy's motto is, you can't lose if you take both sides.
So true. Right? Well, he kind of has the worst of both sides right. Most of the time.
We did not spend as much time on this today as I had planned, but we had other things going on, as it is seemingly now every day. We mentioned a little bit yesterday as it broke. I know J. Matt Nairn mentioned it this morning. He talked about it with Greg on their show. Department of Veterans Affairs planning an aggressive, what they're calling an aggressive reorganization that includes cutting around 80,000 jobs from the sprawling agency that provides health care to retired military members, according to an internal memo obtained by the Associated Press and others. The VA chief of staff, Christopher Sirik, told top-level officials at the agency that it had an objective to cut enough employees to return to 2019 staffing levels of just under 400,000. That would require terminating tens of thousands of employees after the VA expanded during the Biden administration, as well as to cover veterans impacted by burn pits under the 2022 PACT Act. This is very important, and we'll continue to talk about this because regular listeners of the show know that few people admire, honor, and respect our veterans and men and women in service and uniform more than me. And although I never served, I had the honor and privilege of working with them during my time working in the U.S. House of Representatives. The reason that Biden expanded the VA was to cover these folks who put their lives in danger overseas, particularly in Afghanistan, and were exposed to all these chemicals that caused them cancer, including Biden's late son, Beau. And John Stewart has done amazing work to get this for these people. And now the Trump administration says, thanks, but no thanks. We say thanks to each and every one of you. Thanks to Zomers. Brady Ewing will be here tomorrow talking Badger basketball and more. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Maggie Dawn is next.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be Civic Media's own Todd Alba. And then Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter Paul Hanna joins me in the studio. I'm telling you, don't miss this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the Machine Shack. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod. Or try our bone-in seasoned catfish, lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the Machine Shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the Shed.
I-94 and Highway 164, Pewaukee.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. After a phone call with Mexico's president, President Trump says he'll allow Mexico a one-month reprieve from tariffs. Here's Linda Kenyon.
The decision to postpone the tariffs on Mexican products comes one day after the president paused tariffs on some Canadian products, including cars and auto parts.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says he's been talking to the president about streamlining without increasing risks.
The mission is safety and building big, beautiful roads and bridges. We're not going to cut into that, making sure air travel is safe.
Weijia Jiang reports the fate of the education department is still unclear.
We don't know exactly how this is all going to shake out, but what we do know is it is coming, and the president has made that abundantly clear.
The fired head of a federal watchdog agency, Hampton Dellinger, has announced his decision to drop his legal battle. That case was expected to go to the Supreme Court. On Wall Street, the Dow is off 600 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Your